It's famous for its fresh, dry white wine and dates back thousands of years when some of the first Romans sought out cooler climes to beat the sweltering summer heat. Frascati, located in the Castelli Romani, a series of hill towns just southwest of Rome, is the town Pope Benedict visits Sunday, July 15th to celebrate Mass and greet the local population. It's just a short drive away from the papal summer residence in Castel Gandolfo, where the Pope will be staying for the rest of the summer. Frascati is also well known for its Villa Aldobrandini, a majestic Renaissance palace dominating the center of town with a graceful, sweeping hillside garden. But the town is also dotted with picturesque Renaissance villas of Roman aristocratic families and churches, some built out of the dark volcanic stone typical of the area. Well, I sat down with our resident Vatican watcher, Joan Lewis, the Rome bureau chief for the Catholic network EWTN, for a look at Frascati and some of the surrounding area where the Pope is spending his summer holidays. Come join us in studio. Thanks for coming in. And today we're going to be talking about Pope Benedict's visit to Frascati, which is, of course, about a 45-minute ride just outside of central Rome in the hillside where the popes have their summer residence.
Well, and Frascati is, his trip was announced, this was very interesting, by Bishop Raffaello Martinelli on the May 3rd feast of his diocesan patrons, because normally trips are announced by the Vatican, but lately bishops have been kind of taking over and announcing it first. But the May 3rd is the feast of the diocese saints Philip and James the Less, and he announced that the Pope would come on July 15th and celebrate Mass in Piazza San Pietro. And then, of course, after Mass, the Pope will return to Castel Gandolfo after Mass, and there he will pray the noon Angelus, of course. Then I went to the website, obviously, of Frascati, and basically what they have is information for the faithful on how to sign up for this and how to arrive in the city. And you absolutely have to sign up by July 10th and at one of the parishes, and that will allow you to have a pass. And, of course, a pass, a ticket, we always want to inform people, is totally, absolutely free. And not only will you get the pass to attend the papal mass, you will get a little hat with the papal stem on it, and then you will get a place on a bus to bring you there. And you're right, Frascati is a beautiful town. It's one of what's called the Castelli Romani, the Roman hill towns. And Castelli, from the word castello, actually, a lot of these small towns that are built on these hills, and it's an area, the Pope is there now, of course, as we know, and it's an area that's generally cooler. You've got these little mountain towns. You get fresh breezes. You're near Lake Albano, and it's a very beautiful, generally cooler area in the summer. And they're called Castelli Romani because as these towns were built up over the centuries, they were actually built, there would usually be a noble family that would be the owners of a big parcel of land. They built their castle, Castello, and then a town would be built up around that. So you had people living in the town, working for the owner of the castello, and maybe being in agriculture or whatever it was. So you have all these little towns. And Frascati is about 20 miles southeast of Rome. And interestingly enough, it's known for many, many things. White wine.
Famous Frascati wine.
The famous Frascati white wine. Mm-hmm. And the people from Frascati love to tell you, you can buy this, for example, I know in America, I don't know UK or other places. But the people from Frascati like to say, if you don't like it in America, it's because it does not travel well. It doesn't travel further than like 20 miles. So in other words, to Rome and not beyond. But Frascati is also it's closely associated with science, the location of several international scientific laboratories. You have the National Institute for Nuclear Physics, facilities of the European Space Agency, and things like that. And Frascati is also known for its villas. Beautiful big villas, mm-hmm. The Aldobrandini Villa.
And the Grazioli.
Yeah. And some of these were originally designed for social activities rather than farming, but of course there is a lot of farming. And many of them are extremely well preserved, and some, of course, today as we speak can be, you know, visited by the public. And but there's a lot of interesting history in Frascati, too.
It goes way back to the Roman period, doesn't it? I mean, back then in ancient Rome, the Romans would have taken their horses and their chariots and driven out there. Especially because it was cooler in the summers. Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And if you something probably not quite the Roman days, but afterwards, if you like trivia, of course, that's a very relative term. According to the Liber Pontificalis, in the 9th century, Frascati was a little village, and it seems like it had actually been founded as a village 2 centuries earlier. And interestingly enough, the name of the city probably comes from a typical local tradition of collecting firewood, which was called frasche in Italian. And because there are many name places around that also refer to trees or woods. And then the church gets involved in about the 12th century, because after the destruction of the nearby town of Tusculum in 1191, the town's Frascati's population increased, and the bishopric was moved from Tusculum, which didn't exist any longer, to Frascati. And then Pope Innocent III endorsed the city as a possession of the Basilica of San Giovanni in Laterano. So you have centuries and centuries of buildings, centuries of church involvement, building churches, the city being fortified with walls by Pope Pius II in 1460, and just an absolutely fascinating history.
And also, there were some more recent popes who visited it. Blessed John Paul II made a pastoral visit there in 1980, so not long after he was elected pontiff. And also, Pope Paul VI celebrated Mass there in 1963.
And, you know, if you go back before both of those pontiffs, you have an awful lot of damage that was done to Frascati. In 1943, Frascati was the seat of the German field marshal Kesselring. Hmm. And this was heavily bombed by American bombs. And around half of the buildings were destroyed by 1,300 bombs. Many people died in the airstrike, and then a second one in January of 1944, which was the same day as the very famous Battle of Anzio. So, and then Frascati was liberated from German occupation on June 4th. 1944. So church history, civil history, war history, Frascati's a colorful, interesting place and definitely worth a visit. If you can get someone who knows the area well to kind of drive you around and visit some of these little hill towns and have ice cream in one and a glass of wine and maybe a porchetta sandwich in another, they're fascinating areas to visit. All of the
castelli.
You're
going to have to explain that to our listeners. What is a porchetta sandwich?
Oh, I mean, the roast pork is. I don't know if it gets any better, but I mean, there are actually certain periods of the year in which roast pork, mainly the fall, sometimes throughout the winter season, in which you can go into supermarkets and they'll have the entire roast pig right there in the market, and then they just cut off these pigs. What they do to spice it up, it's juicy and it's tasty and it's spicy.
You're making me hungry right now.
Listen, we got to close the show and have a sandwich.
No, but I also wanted to say that Frascati is also very famous for the olive oil that they produce out there, the beautiful rolling hills with olive groves and also it's famous for cheeses and so on. But it's also very close to Castel Gandolfo, where the Pope is residing this summer. Of course, Castel Gandolfo, you've been out there. I've been out there. That's also a beautiful location.
So peaceful.
Overlooking the lake, the volcanic lake of Albano.
It is so peaceful and so beautiful in the gardens. And interestingly enough, if you add up the grounds on which the actual papal palace is, and then you go out and take a look at the immensely beautiful formal gardens, part of which were designed by Bernini. And then if you go to the farm, which is like 27 acres or hectares, I've forgotten which, they have a farm, they have their own olive oil, they make their own yogurt, and they have their own milk. And these products are sold at the Vatican supermarket. They're brought fresh to the Vatican when the Pope's here, you know, every day during the week at like 6 a.m. But that Vatican is 55 hectares. And Vatican City, where we are right here in Rome, is 44. So that's actually a bigger Vatican City, if you will, than the one the Pope traditionally resides in.
Now, you were mentioning World War II and how it was a German base, if you will, back then, Frascati I'm talking about. But also, we had the Pope at the time, it would have been Pius XII, who had used Castel Gandolfo, the summer residence out there, for the local population, but also for people fleeing the Nazis. He gave them refuge there.
Oh, and they were there months and months at a time, living in the gardens and having tents and so forth. One of my favorite stories, which was told by the Saverio Petrillo, who is the keeper of papal villas, or the director of papal villas, and a fascinating man, and he's written a very good book on Castel Gandolfo and so forth, but he said in doing historical research on the palace that there were a lot of babies born in the Second World War, these local townspeople who had come to seek shelter, and like 9 out of 10 little boys were named Eugenio after Pope, because
Pacelli.
That was the Pacelli, Eugenio Pacelli was his baptismal name, Pius XII. So fascinating stories, and I think we did a show on that once. We'll have to go back and look at some more of the stories relative to peaceful, beautiful, quiet, tranquil Castel Gandolfo, named for the Gandolfi family, as a matter of fact. Like many of the Roman hill towns that were built up in the area, a family had a big piece of land. They built a castello on it, their big residence, a castle. And the Gandolfi family was one of the families in the area, and had a fortified castle and became Castel Gandolfo.
Okay, well, Joan, I think that's all we have time for. Again, it's been lovely having you in here in studio and giving us a little background of these beautiful places where Pope Benedict is spending his summer.
I don't know about you, but I'm jealous.
Me too, actually. All right, we'll see you again in the coming weeks.
Yes.
Thanks so much for coming in. Bye.